This is a marketing communication. Please refer to the Key Information Document, or KID, before making any final investment decisions. Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. Past performance does not predict future returns. The mention of any particular security or strategy should not be considered as a recommendation. For further information on the Merchants Trust, please go to www.merchantstrust.co.uk.
The market's very different. It's much less about trying to value and buy individual companies based on their own criteria, and much more about trying to get a position in the market. You have to be very disciplined, and you have to be strong enough to back your judgment, even when it could be quite painful.
Hello and welcome to A Value View from the Merchants Trust. I'm John Cronin, and in this episode I'm joined by Simon Gergel, Lead Manager of the Merchants Trust. Now, markets today can feel noisier, faster and more reactive than ever. Passive flows, hedge funds, basket trades, momentum, all of that can make short-term price moves feel, well, pretty brutal. But for some, this kind of environment doesn't just create risk, it also brings opportunity. So if markets are increasingly driven by short-term behaviour, where does that leave long-term value investing? Well, Simon, it's great to have you with us, and it's a fascinating question.
Hi, John. It's great to be here today.
Well, let's jump in and let's just think about some of those thoughts. But let's go to the big picture first. What's changed when you look back? What's changed from when you started managing money?
Yeah, well, I started in the late 1980s. And in those days, most of the investors in the market were either individual people or individual institutional investors buying individual companies one at a time. Today, the vast majority of trading is done on behalf of funds, often passive funds, buying the whole index, or basket trades, buying a basket of growth stocks or, defense companies, or hedge funds putting enormous trades around very short-term trading news and trading predictions. So the market's very different. It's much less about trying to value and buy individual companies based on their own criteria, and much more about trying to get a position in the market, giving us exposure to a certain factor or a certain view.
So a lot's changed, basically, in that time.
Yeah, enormous amounts changed. I mean, the volume of trading is hugely more than it used to, but there's a lot less attention on individual companies and much more on getting a position and exposure in the market.
Okay, Simon, so you talk about factors. What do you mean by that?
Well, it could be a factor like growth, companies with high growth, or quality, or value. So these are different ways of investing and getting exposure to a style of business or we call it a factor. So an exposure to high growth companies, for example.
And you've also talked about momentum. You mean buying when things are already going up and avoiding what's going down?
Yes, momentum really encompasses two different things. So one is buying shares that are already going up or selling those that are going down. And the second is buying companies where they're getting expectations are going up. So they're seeing upgrades to forecasts. So there's good news coming out. People are getting more excited and predicting higher profits in the future. And those are very powerful drivers at the moment. There's a lot of money chasing momentum, either companies going up, share prices going up, or companies with good news and seeing earnings upgrades. And that's really quite powerful at the moment. And the reverse for companies seeing downgrades or going down.
And on that, on the reverse, that's where it can get pretty uncomfortable in the short term, can't it? So why do you see an opportunity there rather than a headache?
Yeah, well, if you imagine, the more people focus on the short term and what's going on today and next week, the less they're focusing on the long-term value. And those two things can be aligned, but very often they're not aligned. You can have a company that's going through a tough time today, and it may be worth a lot more in the long term, but we don't know when that long term is going to come through. And the shares can get cheaper and cheaper, and that can be very uncomfortable if you're sitting there with a position in a company that you think is worth twice the share price, and it comes out with a slightly disappointing trading update, and the shares fall another 10%. That's an uncomfortable position to be, but it's creating a bigger opportunity.
Okay, so what you're saying here is that the more impatient the market gets, the more chance there is there for patient investors.
I think that's right. I mean, another way of saying it is the more efficient the market is at absorbing new news in the short term, in a way, the less efficient it becomes at thinking about the long term.
You've said in the past that markets can be pretty vicious in this environment. Those are strong words. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by vicious particularly?
Well, coming back to what I'm saying, if you own a company where you think the shares are very cheap and quite depressed, and then they have some more bad news and the shares fall further, they can fall quite a long way, almost irrespective of how cheap they are. It really doesn't seem to make too much difference at the moment how cheap a share is. If it gets bad news, the shares almost always go down, and sometimes quite a lot. So taking a long-term view, trying to ride that out, can be quite painful. So it can feel quite vicious. And the flip side of it is if you've got a company that's doing well and in favour and it comes out with good news, often it can go up more than you think it should.
And I suppose that's a reflection on the fact that it's not always careful analysis that's coming into play here. Sometimes it's just capital moving en masse. It's the herd mentality.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got to be careful saying it's not proper thinking, because there are a huge amount of people and a lot of money chasing short-term momentum and trying to identify companies that might get those upgrades and might get that good news and see the share price go up further. So it's not necessarily dumb money, there is often thinking involved, but it doesn't stop the fact that you can get these great anomalies and that shares can move further and further away from where they should, where their intrinsic value is, because of the focus on the short term. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get it. So look, let's bring this into focus then from the perspective of the Merchants Trust, because I guess this is where a structure like an investment trust, which of course is what the Merchants Trust is, that's where it matters, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And there's some great features of investment trusts like the Merchants Trust, which give us the capability to stand back and take that longer term view. So the first is we have permanent capital. Merchants Trust has been around for, 138 years or so. And that means that we can take a long term view. We're not going to be forced to sell a share that's going down just because the shares are going down, because money comes out of the fund. So we can take a long-term view and look through it. And the second thing is we have a very clear investment philosophy and an investment approach, and it's backed by the board of directors who they monitor us, they challenge us, but they ultimately support us to implement that strategy. And so we have a very clear view, looking for income, looking for capital returns, and we can take those long-term views, which if you had money that can go in and out the door, it can be much more difficult to take those long-term views.
And I guess also you're just not being pushed around by other people's decisions, other people's time horizons as well.
Yes, I mean, psychologically it's difficult to do. It's difficult to stand away from the herd, if you like, or the market. But we are not being pushed to do that by the board, who are very supportive. That's what our job is to do, is to stand back and take advantage of those opportunities, even when, and perhaps particularly when, it's quite painful.
Does that mean you have to be quite brave?
You have to be very disciplined, and you have to be strong enough to back your judgment, even when it could be quite painful. But you've got to also remain humble, because we do get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes, quite often, the market's right. It tells you there's something going wrong in a company. You have to be alert to where there's a real challenge or a real potential change. But equally, you have to be able to other times stand back and say, actually, we believe in what we're doing. We believe in the value here, and we're going to ride it through.
Okay. I guess that's where the experience comes in, isn't it? Having managed money for, some time, you get to see things perhaps with a different perspective as well. Look, for somebody who's watching or listening to this for the first time, Simon, and maybe doesn't live the jargon all day long, what would you say is the simplest way to think about the approach that you're describing here?
I suppose the simplest way is to say that the market is not rational in the short term. So there's a lot of noise, a lot of activity, but the market is prone to wild swings of emotion, of fear and greed, and that can create opportunities. If you have a genuine view of what a business is worth in the long term, you can take advantage of that irrationality, of that noise in the market, and take a position, take an investment decision based on a long-term view, and that can be the opportunity.
And that's where the value investor lives, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The value investor is always trying to identify companies that are mispriced on both sides of the equation and really to invest in those that are significantly undervalued and to hope that that valuation gets recognised or that undervaluation gets recognised over the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Fascinating subject, Simon. We're going to have to wrap it up now. But your final thoughts, how would you sum this up?
I would say the market has become much more short-term over the last 20 years. The people operating the market are often trying to do very different things. It's much less about trying to understand and value each individual company, and it's much more about taking a position and trying to identify a theme and positioning for that. And that has challenges in the short term. It means the market's very volatile, but it creates enormous opportunities. If you can stand back and really take a long-term view, you can really take advantage of that.
Okay, Simon, fascinating subject and conversation as ever. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Thank you, John.
And if you've enjoyed this episode of A Value View, do subscribe, leave us a comment and share it with anyone interested in long-term investing and market thinking beyond the headlines. And you can find out more about the Merchants Trust and read and watch Simon's latest investor notes by going to merchantstrust.co.uk. Next time, we're going to talk about having the courage of your convictions when a falling share price isn't necessarily a broken investment case.